Welcome to the Faith Church Peshtigo podcast. You can connect with us online at faithpeshtigo.com, and we're also on Facebook. Today's podcast features a discussion following the Easter Sunday service of April 12th, 2020. Also, Pastor Jay and Pastor Robbie talk a little bit about a conference they were going to be in Louisville, but instead are live streaming it.
Hello, Faith Church. Welcome to another edition of the Faith Church podcast.
Hello, everybody.
You just cut me off.
Oh, sorry. I was just excited.
You're excited? You were just talking about how low your energy was, and now you got this goofy smile on your face, and you're... That I can see over through Zoom, though.
Well, now we're talking to our people.
Oh, yeah.
It got me pumped.
So now it's better. Yeah, so I am Jay, one of your hosts and pastors, and with me is Robbie,
who just said hello. Your other host, and also one of your pastors.
Was that pause for dramatic effect? Now we're just talking over each other. This is not... We are decidedly getting worse at this. I just paused
for you to
say something, and then you didn't say anything. This is ridiculous. Okay, well, this is the post-Easter podcast. So this past weekend was Easter Sunday.
And it was quite possibly the weirdest Easter ever.
For sure, the weirdest Easter for me ever. I can't think of one that is stranger. What was that like for you, Robbie, on Sunday morning? Now, Sunday morning for us... Because as we've said before, we pre-record the service, and we did that on Thursday, but we still wanted to have the baptism on Sunday. And so
Correct. If
you're watching, you saw that we did Will's baptism, and we did that early Sunday morning. So Robbie, what was the significance of that? Like, why, when we did all the other things recorded, why did we do that on Sunday morning?
Yes, very early Sunday morning, quite frankly. That was a big deal because it was, first of all, Resurrection Sunday, which is an awesome day to be baptized. And also, as we said in the service, it was Will's birthday. And so it just simply did not do to pre-record that on a different day. It was too awesome and too significant to do it on Easter itself, to not get up at the crack of dawn and try to pull that off.
Right, so what that ended up meaning was we had to do some tight math here because we had done the whole service and prepared that whole thing and then had a space to drop the baptism in. And so immediately after you baptized Will, I grabbed the card out of the camera, threw it in, put it in the timeline, rendered it, and handed it off to Jeff Bauer, who then was set to upload it, and then YouTube has to process it. So these are all the technological things that happen behind the scenes. And one of the millions of reasons why we aren't live streaming things is because of all the stuff that goes on. But we thought we had it. Like, Jeff was uploading it. It looked good. YouTube normally takes about 20 to 30 minutes to process one of our videos, the services,
right,
to be ready to air. And about 20 minutes in or 30 minutes in, I think it was 30% of the way done.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Because I'm pretty sure every church on planet Earth was also trying to stream or upload something at that exact second.
Yeah. So we had to figure out, I had a plan B, but my plan B also failed. So I had to go to plan C. Plan C was failing quickly because Jeff was saying, this isn't even going to be up by 9. And then Jeff
and
had
plan D was panic.
Right, plan D was Robbie and I panic while Jeff Bauer comes up with another idea where he actually live streamed the video from his computer. So don't worry about the technology of that, but what you need to know is that Jeff Bauer came up with a brilliant plan and tested it in lightning speed and got it set up so that we were only 10 minutes late on the first service. And he then monitored the live streaming of the service the entire time, you know, monitoring for any glitches or whatever. And so Jeff was the hero. Jeff Bauer was the hero of Easter Sunday.
He was absolutely the hero. He figured out there was almost no service on Easter until Jeff Bauer saved the day and figured out a way to get it up there. So yeah, I received a text or two at like 8:50 on that morning with pictures of the countdown saying why hasn't this started yet? It says there's like 8 more minutes, and helping people understand it was a minor miracle and Jeff Bauer's superpowers that there was anything displayed at all by that time. Mm-hmm. It was pretty amazing, and we were pretty grateful for Jeff's technological prowess. And the fact that he seemed largely unfazed. As you and I were on the verge of a nervous breakdown, Jeff was just kind of going, okay, we could try this.
But this is what I love about Jeff is, again, the different expressions of Jeff, and they are all the same. So all of his emotions
That's true.
Underneath. Because when I texted him, we had been on the phone, and then I just told him, hey, great job. And he said, basically, no problem. And then he said, let's not do this again. And he had tongue sticking out emoji. And I loved it because it was such a glimpse. That was Jeff's form of that just stressed me to no end.
Nervous breakdown.
It was his nervous breakdown. His nervous breakdown just looks a lot different, less animated than mm-hmm. mine. Anyway, those are all the things that go on behind the scenes, but it was really important that we do the baptism on Easter Sunday, and it was incredible. I'm so glad that we did that, and really thankful that God allowed all that to be pulled off like the way that it was, because it was...
Well worth the effort. Well worth the effort.
Yeah, it was well worth the effort. So that's one of the questions, Robbie, that I... wanted to bring up when we were thinking about the Easter service. I got a lot of feedback about the Easter service and how some people use the term well-produced, which is usually something that makes me really cringe when it comes to worship. And anybody that's been here long enough knows that you and I are not typically fans of production during worship. And so we
Correct.
Really try to keep things to the things that God says, you know, clearly that we are called to do. So why this? Like, we've answered this a little bit with why do we pre-record the services? But then on a service like this, where you and I and Jeff all put in a lot of effort doing a lot of production to pull the Easter service off, what's the difference? Like the music video, for example, which I know you don't even want me to use that term, but it was a video of music.
That was involving music and also video.
Yes.
Simultaneously.
So those two things came together in what, shall yes. we say, is a video of music. How about that?
Okay.
And
I accept that term.
And it was incredible. I loved it. So why wouldn't we do that? Like, why is it okay right now? Why would you have chosen to do that on this Sunday when I don't think you would do that on a normal Sunday?
That's such a good question. No, we would not typically do that on a Sunday morning, because context makes all the difference, right? So if you imagine all of us actually physically gathered together on a Sunday morning, in order to play something like that, we have to stop the engagement of the congregation, right? So we all stop singing so that we can all watch this video presentation. And so in a sense, corporate worship stops so that we can all view this thing together. And we might get to the end of that in that context and think, oh, that was neat. But it's not, it doesn't have the same impact. And arguably you're even stopping the worship in order to view that. But we're in such an unusual context right now where the production and the time that we take in that, the purpose of that is to try to help people to feel connected, right? We have to go through additional details to get to a place that we don't even think about when we're actually gathered together, right? Because we're all there. So we don't have to work extra hard to make it feel like we're all together. I just look around and see that everybody else is there. We don't have that when me and my family, or I'm by myself sitting in the room. And so we do this extra effort, the same thing that on a Sunday morning when we're all actually gathered in this context has the opposite effect, where in watching this video and in seeing each of these members of our family, these people who are dear to us, it actually helps us to connect and helps us to engage in worship in this context. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I think what's important about that is, yeah, like you said, context is everything. And so it's not that these different things are wrong. It's just what's the point of them, and what are they drawing the
Correct.
Congregation towards?
Exactly.
And so when I think about it, you know, like we're not anti video. But it's what's the point of that? Is it increasing the engagement of the people, or is it breaking away from that? We obviously use technology every Sunday we gather here together. We use a lot of technology to not be a distraction, but all of it is meant to kind of draw into the worship of God and not be a distraction from that. And so
precisely,
I think that's the difference too. Plus the fact, I don't know about anybody else out there, but in my house, we sang along with people. I mean, like, we sang with that video, which is the point. Certainly here on a Sunday morning, all gathered together, people wouldn't sing with it. They would watch it like a performance. So.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
So what about, tell me a little bit about the intro video, because that, I thought that was really powerful. Tell me a little bit about what went into that.
Yeah, so I tried to think, all right, Easter is supposed to be this big celebration, and I couldn't help but think, you know, on a normal Easter Sunday, when we are all gathered here together, there's such an energy. There's such a, just people are typically dressed up maybe a little bit more. There's a lot of, like, you know, greetings, more boisterous greetings. There's just so much energy here on Easter Sunday. And I thought,
yeah,
how do we try to get people to that point? How do we get people to understand, hey, this is still Easter in this very strange environment, sitting on your living room couch? And how does this not feel like every other service that we do? And so it just kind of came to my mind of just saying, man, it'd be great. What I love is people coming together and greeting each other, you know, saying he is risen or happy Easter or any of that. And knowing how hungry people were to see each other's faces, that's why I made the ask to our church family, you know, hey, send me a greeting. I had no idea what that was going to turn out like, but it was fantastic. Like almost all of them, there were a couple that we couldn't use because of technical difficulties with them, but the vast majority were all usable, and anything that was usable I used, because I just was so excited for that. And I think, so my thought was in that was I wanted to show and kind of claim, you know, name this thing that we're all feeling, that this is different, and that it's, that the church does feel empty, that this is normally where we would be gathering. I wanted to remind people what it was like to be in this place. There's some of our church family that haven't been in this physical location for over a month.
Right.
And so it starts to feel distant, and I wanted them to feel connected to that space again, but then also remind them that this space is not, this isn't the thing, that Easter is still the thing, and this is still Easter. Yeah. And then that it's about these people. And so to have them people greeting each other, it was a joy. Like, it was a labor of love, I think I will say. There was definitely, I was pulling back on my video production days of just like trying to lightning speed turn this thing around, because obviously the sermon prep was more important, and so I didn't do any of this with the video until after all that was done, after the recording of the services, because it just that needed to take priority. But it was meaningful to me. And I know you had said this, like, even in the preparation of yours and the preparation of this video for me, I got really emotional multiple times just seeing the faces of our people and them greeting the church. It was, you know, we talk in this podcast about the, what was surprising about sermon prep. I think that the bigger thing for me that God did in my heart this week was editing that video, because I really miss our people and I miss seeing their faces. Yeah. And so it was an emotional thing for me to put that together. So
I was really surprised this week, for people who don't know much about video editing, you spend a lot of time staring at the same few seconds of footage over and over and over again, and you watch the same thing for hours and hours and hours and hours. And what I felt so impacted by was even after all of that throughout the week, Sunday morning felt no less impactful.
Right.
Like even knowing what was coming, it still struck me. I still got choked up seeing each of those faces appear on the screen and both of those video elements. And I think that just speaks to where we are and that felt need of wanting that connection, how deeply we do miss one another, and that the screen does not meet that need. And I love that just it created that sense of, that fondness of heart, right? The absence makes the heart grow fond and just swelled that sense of fondness and desire and what a great day it is going to be when we can all worship together, actually together.
Yeah, that's the thing that I mentioned, I think it was last week, I don't remember, about how it seems that God is blessing these elements in ways that he hasn't before, and I don't think he will again. So we mentioned this about streaming worship services. We have no intention. Some people have asked, and I know more will ask, we have no intention of streaming services in the future once we're able to gather together. Now, it is opening up some ideas of how, we're always trying to figure out how do we minister to our church family who are unable to gather with us, whether that's missionaries overseas or elderly who are shut in or, unable to get to us. And so we'll always consider that and think through that. But my one concern is as God blesses us in this is that people would look at it and say, wow, but that was so meaningful. Why wouldn't we continue to do that even when this is over, whether it's a video or just streaming the service as a whole with how meaningful that is? And part of my response to that would be, I think that was meaningful for a time, for a season. I think that God I do believe that God is going to bless these technological elements in a different way right now that I don't want to assume he's going to continue to do in the future when we're able to get together. Does that make sense, or do you think I'm off on weird land? Is that a thing?
I think that makes a lot of sense. Weird land makes less sense than all the other stuff you just said.
That's good to know.
I can't support weird land, but I support all the other things that you just said.
Weird land. Never, never land.
That's good. Now we've come off the rails.
Respond
let's,
then.
Let's bring it back in. I agree with you. I think as part of this challenge in this season has been coming up with solutions for how we can stay connected, ideally in ways that we would continue to do moving forward. And so if people continue to be blessed by things like this podcast, then it would be our delight to continue to do that and use that as an opportunity to continue to answer questions, respond to sermons and provide helpful, engaging discipleship content, things like the vlogs and whatnot. But then there's a few things like the streaming that once we are able to gather again, we're not going to, I would hope that we would not continue to do the lesser version once the better version is available, when the true version is once again available to us.
Yeah, which is something we've talked about as a staff of there are some things that we are doing right now because it's as a replacement. So Robbie, you talked about this in your sermon a couple weeks ago that it is, we're doing it because we can't do the better thing. And those things will come to an end when we're allowed to get back together. And then there are other things where this has been a catalyst to do something that we've wanted to do. Then we're finding things that are actually helpful and equipping to our people, even when we're able to get together on a Sunday morning. And so this is clearly one of those things. Side note though, if you guys don't know, Robbie and I, our background, back when we were at in California together, our jobs, they were video production. So I was doing video stuff there for the high school ministry. And then I moved on and Robbie came in and took it over and did it way better.
Basically stepped into the role that you were in high school ministry.
And did it so much better. I was like the valley between two incredible producers. Like the guys before me were amazing. And then they referred to that as the J year. That was the year that all the video
that can't possibly
went downhill.
Be true.
But we would seriously be in these closets, like this. Our editing studio, as it were, was a closet that had been transformed into a video editing studio. And we'd spend hours and hours and hours into that. And I had a little bit of PTSD flashback to those days of editing the videos. But I knew that the big difference was that this video people would actually watch and be and feel ministered to by. Whereas
yes,
when we used to do this in high school ministry, we would make a video, we'd pour 60 hours into this video, and 2/3 of the room is talking through the whole thing. And it just made you want to pull your
opening up all their cans of Dr. Pepper during your favorite part of the video.
Oh my goodness. I've never wanted to scream so much in my life at children. I just wanted to scream at teenagers constantly.
You will watch this video. Do you understand how much of my life I poured into this? It's funny. Laugh
it's,
at my
it's
video.
It's good practice for parenting.
Yeah, this was a very different
it
feel.
Was. It was a very different feel. I did feel that way towards my kids a little bit, like when they're watching it and going, oh, that's neat. I was like, neat? Do you know how much time? This is not neat.
But that's not why we
not,
do it, Jay.
But it just was, it was a thing. So anyways.
But it was helpful to know this actually had the chance of
right.
being impactful, and based on the feedback that we've gotten, it was, and we're very grateful for that. That's a direct
Absolutely.
Answer to prayer.
You know, another thing that this is bringing up is this whole week was supposed to be different for us. So if you don't know, also we were supposed to be down in Louisville, how do you
Louisville,
Kentucky,
Louisville.
For a conference. So. Usually once a year we try to get away to a conference, and so we were supposed to be down there this week, and of course that is not happening, but they are streaming it live, and so we have been.
It turns out that Louisville frowned on the idea of gathering 10,000 pastors all in one
yeah,
building.
Yeah, it seemed.
In light of the yeah, current situation.
Yeah, it was a toss-up, but they kind of went against it. The gathering of 10, turns out it was a gathering of 10, not 10,000 that is allowed. So they had to clarify that.
Yes, correct.
Was it just groups of 10s, like all 10s can get together? And so we were in virtual Louisville today, and we've listened to a couple of sessions. Anything, any takeaways from that, Robbie, that just on the fly?
Oh, man, so many takeaways. The last session that we just watched was by David Platt, who I always find particularly simultaneously challenging and encouraging. The one thing when as you just asked that right now, the first thing that popped into my head was one of the last things that he said. It was actually a quote from another pastor by the name of Charles Simeon. And he said that the Christians need to learn to enjoy God in everything and to enjoy everything in God. And I was just so struck by the simplicity and beauty in that, and at the same time, how enormous that statement
yeah.
is. Like, it's deceptively profound, and was challenged to think through, like, how do I look through that lens for the rest of today, and then do that again tomorrow, and then the day after, and the day after.
Yeah. Now that's very different than when you first told me, what did you say Platt's message was basically titled? Why Jay and Robbie shouldn't be pastors?
Why we should never
be pastors.
It
was like
again.
Eight
Correct.
Questions
yeah.
from 1 Peter 5 and 8 questions for pastors about shepherding your flock. And it was challenging because you're just thinking, oh man. And Am I really fulfilling this calling in the way that God would have me do it? And the answer, as with so many things, is a mixed bag. There are evidences of God's grace in certain things.
Certainly.
And then there are other evidences of my brokenness that needs to be, you know, confronted. And so David Platt is always good at doing that, making you think, hitting you with some hard things and making you ask hard questions. So,
and so good at simply presenting the word and saying, if we actually believe what this says, then this is what you're actually supposed to be living like. And then when I take that step back and really try to honestly self-evaluate, I seldom look even close to what Scripture is calling me to, which initially makes me feel a little discouraged and defeated until right. I remember the gospel. And then the pendulum swings all the way to the other side, and I feel overwhelmed with gratefulness that the expectation is not my perfection, but clinging to Christ's perfection and the fact that I am not ever going to be a perfect under-shepherd worthy of full imitation. But just like every other member of this church, I'm desperately clinging to Christ.
Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly. I endorse that statement. I was trying to find something else from it. I mean, the first session was really, I mean, it was a powerful exhortation from Colossians about just setting your eyes on Christ and seeking things above, setting your mind on things above, and really about beholding Christ. And so I thought that was really powerful, and just the simplicity of that, and yet how important it is to be found in Christ, to be consumed by Him, which then carried over into Platt's message about, you know, one of the questions that Platt asked, which was so great, was the idea of, do you love your ministry more than you love Jesus? And then drawing that, tying that back into, so it's from Peter, 1 Peter, talking about shepherding the flock among you. And that's the command, is to shepherd the flock among you, and him echoing back to Jesus confronting Peter and saying, do you love me? And then feed my sheep. So he doesn't, his question to Peter isn't, do you love feeding my sheep, or do you love the sheep? His question is, do you love me? Well, then feed my sheep. And just a reminder of how our ministry, all of our ministry, not just pastoral ministry, any ministry that we do flows out of loving Jesus. That is the source. So no amount of love for your neighbor can overtake the love for God. Like, that loving your neighbor flows out of being loved by God and loving God. And it's just so easy to get caught up in loving ministry, loving doing things for people, loving producing content, you know, loving, even loving people and even good things. All those things can be good things, but when they don't flow out of love for Jesus, and my just feeling consumed, being consumed by Him, then it doesn't end well.
That seems like a fairly repetitive theme in Jesus' ministry, this whole loving God and as a result of that loving others.
It does seem that way.
Thing.
You should write that down. Maybe we could.
I should. I could tweet that.
Let's not.
Do people still tweet stuff? Is Twitter even a thing anymore? I'm so disconnected from that world.
So here's a fun fact. Christoph got really excited because he found my old Twitter account, which the last post was, I think, 7 years ago. Or 8 years ago, I don't know. I basically got on.
I think I beat you by 1 year
that?
There.
You beat me.
I think.
Well,
I
don't know. I was rounding.
I
don't know. Christoph could tell you. I think
tweet.
It was actually. I think it was 8 years ago. I think it was 2012. Anyway, I was so early on Twitter that I basically got to choose my handle, and then I posted 3 times, I think, and then I was out. No more Twitter for Jay.
So did you actually get like at Jay Williams?
I think I got at JD Williams, and then I put my birth date on the, like, my day, the day. I don't know. Whatever it was, Jay Williams usually is taken very quickly. So I was early enough in Gmail that I didn't have to go with a crazy number with Jay Williams, and early enough with Twitter. But most things, that's not. Like, you probably have a little easier time securing your name on things.
One would think.
Are there a lot of Robbie Hillings?
But there's somewhere out there is some sinister and very technologically advanced Robbie Hillings that always gets
really?
At that before I do.
Is it Otis, though?
Yeah. No, if I include the Otis, that's usually the clincher. So a lot of my things end up just being Robbie Otis, just for the safe play.
Makes me so happy. I love that. All right. Well, that's probably enough.
For those of you who did not understand the context, that is in fact my middle name.
Otis. Which is great because like one of your emails is Rotis, isn't it? Rotis.
That's correct.
R. Otis. Took me a long time. I didn't understand that was your middle name. I was like, what's Rotis? It's Rotis. I don't understand. Turns out it's R. Otis.
Correct.
This is really riveting podcast right now. I feel like
it's on a steep decline right now, so we should wrap this up.
Christoph
is
right now pulling the
Mayday, or any
like the eject handle
information.
Like just like eject, land the plane. Well, we can land the plane. Is there anything that people need to know upcoming?
I think both a thank you and a request. Thank you so much to everyone who sent in the videos per our request. That was such a huge blessing, and we would not have been able to produce either of those videos if you guys had not been willing to so quickly and effectively respond. So thank you so much. All of you helped make that Easter service significantly more meaningful and impactful. So thank you. Also, we would love for you to continue to send in your questions, because we clearly are quickly running out of material for this podcast. So we love getting questions from you guys. It doesn't even have to be message related. Just as you are in the Word and something comes up, or as you're ministering to somebody else and you find yourself challenged by something, we would love to hear those questions and have an opportunity to hopefully, by God's grace, helpfully respond on a future podcast.
Yeah, so just email those to us or whatever, was it connect@faithpeshtigo.com?
That's the
one.
I
like that I don't know that off the top of my head. I have to ask you every time.
You did.
I did
you
it.
Just did it. You just said it.
I am learning tricks. I'm learning new tricks. It would be great to get those from you so that we can, you don't just have to listen to Robbie and I and our witty banter. Is it does
witty though it may be engaging and captivating though this may
be. I'm pretty sure that the last few minutes would not be classified as witty or captivating, but that is correct.
That's correct.
That's why we need questions. But continue to look for the vlog, subscribe to the YouTube channel. If you missed those in the intro video or the song from Sunday, those are also up on the YouTube channel. We just thought that people might want to see those again. So they are up there. Our vlogs will be up there. We're still going to be producing the two podcasts and emails on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And we're just going to keeping people connected. And we do. We want to hear your questions. We want to hear your stories. But until then, know that we love you, church family. We are praying for you. And we will talk to you next time.